Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. Why don't we stand together as we sing this great song of praise, Stand in Your Love. Let's sing this together this morning.
Tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
Glad that you've come to worship with us today. We're honored to gather together and worship King Jesus. And I love that song, "Our fear doesn't stand a chance." There's power that can empty out a grave. And that's what we come to celebrate today. It's resurrection power. It's new life power. And baptism is a symbol of that. If you're participating online, let me start by welcoming you and saying welcome. There is a phone number on the screen in front of you, excuse me, that you can use to text us to let us know that you're participating online. If you're a guest in the room today, we're honored to have you as well if you would fill out the worship registration. But I want to say to all of our guests and then to our regular attenders and members alike that baptism is an important part of our faith. It's an important part because it's a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of us dying to our old ways, being washed and made new by the power of the Spirit and walking new and free in Him. And so when we do this, it is not just a ritual for membership. This is something that we have been practicing as a church for 140 years this next month. And it's something that our faith, we as believers, have been practicing for over right at 2,000 years, to know that we can baptize people as a symbol of what Jesus has done for them. So today we're excited to baptize one. So let me ask you, who's ready for baptism? This is Alicia Gonzalez, and there's no doubt in my mind that she's ready to be baptized. She has been asking for a while to do so, where the Lord's been doing the work in her heart and in her life. We sat and we talked. She talked with her parents, and then we sat and talked about what it means to follow Jesus, and she knows the answers, and she knows what the Lord is up to in her life. She worked through a booklet together and told her parents just to get back with us, and so she's ready, and so we come to celebrate, and I'm excited to be able to do this with you. So Alicia, let me ask you a question. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Amen. All right. So be quiet. Put your nose there. We'll turn this way. Alicia, it's my privilege to baptize you as my sister in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So we're so thankful to be a part of that. And we're thankful for opportunities to continue to baptize. If you have Jesus in your life, but you've never followed through with believers' baptism, we invite you to do so. It's a proclamation of our faith. And so we invite you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, please know that getting baptized is not the starting point. This is a symbol of what Jesus has already done in your life. So if you've never given your life to Him, today I would invite you to receive Him as your Savior. How do you do that? You trust that He is who He says He is. He did what He says He did. He can do what He says He will do. And that is to save us of our sins because of His death on the cross and being brought back to life for us. So it is Jesus who forgives us of our sins. It is Jesus who gives us new life. So if you've never given your life to Him, receive Him right now. You don't need magic words from me or a certain phrase to repeat. Just you, trust in your heart, ask Him, repent. Repent means if you're walking one way, you turn and walk the other. We repent by changing our mind and changing our direction and saying, God, I need you to save me. And friends, Jesus does the saving. If you try to save yourself, you will not get far. If you think you've saved yourself and you come up here to get baptized, I've got a little secret for you. This is just mud water. It's not holy water. And so you need to understand, this is just water. It's a symbol of what Jesus has done. He's already done the work. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Him, right now, would you stop and just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I confess that I have sinned, that I've failed, and I need you. Give your life to Him. Now, for those of us that know Him, let's continue in worship. We have some beautiful songs to sing together today. Before we sing and I'll pray, let me mention to you our Church of the Week. This week we are praying for First Baptist Church of Grant. And their pastor is Chuck Connolly. So we want to pray for Grant First Baptist Church. God is using them. God is blessing their ministry there. We want to ask that many more people would come to know Him through their ministry. And then our mission partners for this week that we're praying for is Real Life Pregnancy Centers. We have a wonderful partnership that's been together for many years. There's a center in Albertville and the one in Guntersville. And I want you to know that they are ministering to a large number of women. They are sharing the gospel. They are bringing hope. They are providing resources for those that find themselves pregnant or those that find themselves with children and needing some help. They're discipling people. They're discipling young fathers as well. It is an amazing, amazing ministry. And though we have been a part of their ministry for many years, it's always been busy in the sense that there's been a lot to do. But since COVID and since the Roe versus Wade was struck down, it is not unrealistic to say that the ministry has tripled in scope in the last number of months. And so we're excited to see what God is doing there. Let's pray for them, and then we'll carry on in worship. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for Real Life Ministries. God, we pray that every woman in need who finds themselves in a desperate situation or one they were not expecting or has some concerns in their life, Father, we pray that they would find hope and help in Jesus, and that the Real Life Pregnancy Centers could be a help to them. Father, for the many unborn children that will be carried to term, those that will be live a long and fruitful life on this earth, we're so thankful that we get to be a part of encouraging life and what you're doing there. But Father, for the gospel and how it's shared among the clients and those who come there, Father, thank you that they can find truth in who you are. Father, we pray for Grant First Baptist Church. We pray that you would move in power among them, that you would bless today as the message is brought by Chuck. We pray that it would be a powerful Sunday for them. But God, not just Sunday, but that you would give them opportunity to serve you throughout the week. And God, I pray for revival on Sand Mountain. God, it's my same prayer as every week. Let it begin right here at First Baptist. Let it begin in this service. Let it begin in me. Let it begin in each person that's here. God, may we ask humbly that you come and fill us anew, that you come and let us live for you. Father, that many more will come to know you, that many will follow the testimony and the example of Alicia as she comes saying she has Jesus in her life, that others will come and do the same. And God, now as we worship you, we will sing about our trust of you. We've already sung about the fact that fear can't keep us when we know that you are at work in our lives. But God, we trust you. God, we trust you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for that. So Lord, now as we sing, may we lift up praise to you. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Tis so sweet. Let's sing that out, church.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same the Lord.
Oh, how sweet.
To trust his grace.
God, we sing these truths to you. Our sins are many, your mercy is more. We sing the truth to you that we can trust in you. And Father, that we have proved it over and over as we sung about. Lord, we proved it in our following you, and we proved it in disobeying you, because you held strong. You did not leave us nor forsake us. You did not get rid of us because of our sin. Your mercy truly is more. Your mercy is more than our sinfulness. Your mercy is more than our faithlessness. And so thank you, Father, for your great character. We would be literally lost without it. So thank you, Father, for salvation. Guys, with your heads bowed for just a second, would you just thank him for saving you? You know you better than anybody in this room. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. God, you're so good to us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. It's great to continue on in worship. The choir is going to share a special song now for you. Most of you probably will not have heard this song before. It's a beautiful song that really ties in well with what we've been studying all summer. When we've looked at the Old Testament prophets, and Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, here we are. The truth is, we keep seeing Israel crash and burn. We keep seeing them fail time and time again. And God continues to restore them. He continues to make things new. We saw other nations come and go. We saw some that were serving the Lord and then fell away, in the sense that they just didn't serve him anymore. And so the truth is, we realize that we can take that and apply it to our day and age today. We are not Israel, but we, as the bride of Christ, we know that there are many who worship the Lord across the nation and across the world who in some ways have struggled. Maybe they've crashed and burned. Maybe they have found, as their church, they've lost their purpose. They've lost their focus. They've lost their vision. Maybe it's no longer about making disciples of nations. Maybe it's no longer about sharing the gospel. Maybe it's no longer about showing the love and mercy and grace and truth of who God is. And so this song beautifully shares a message that we can ask God to move among us still. We can ask him to bring revival. Let the church rise from the ashes. Let the church rise. Let the Holy Spirit blow among us. So this prayer of this song is not just for First Baptist. This prayer is for the church universal. So would you join us? Because if there's ever been a day we need to pray, today's the day. So listen to these words and think of it as your prayer and my prayer today.
Church, rise from the ashes.
Let us fall to our knees. Lord, let us come humbly before you, asking you to let us, Albertville First Baptist Church, be a light in our community and around the world. And Father, not even that. My prayer is that the church universal, but we'll just start with the church local here in Marshall County. Let the collective body of believers rise from the ashes. Let us fall to our knees. Let us be a light among those in our community. Father, we stretch that out across our state, across our nation, around the world. Let the church rise. Lord, may your bride be ready for you when Jesus returns. And Father, may we do all we can to see others come to know you before that time. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. The Bible is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. In between Malachi and Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, will be one page in your Bible. But that one page represents 400 years of silence. There was 400 years that God did not speak through written word. And so what Malachi had to say was important because it's the birth of this pause that would then bring about the Messiah. This book is a series of disputes between God and the Israelites and between God and the priests. And so last week we learned how easy it is for us to bring a polluted offering to God. If we're not careful, our lives and our worship will be polluted. If it doesn't come from sincerity, if it doesn't come from a life that lives that out, and God says, I'm not interested in that. So today we're going to dive a little deeper into Malachi and what it means to have the life of a true worshiper. Malachi chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says this, and now, O priests, this command is for you. So right away, he's not talking to all of Israel. He's talking to the priests because they were not honoring God. So now, O priests, this command or this argument is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you did not lay it to heart. What's he saying? He says the offerings you're bringing to me are lip service. The way you're worshiping me and reading the scripture in the temple, it's lip service and it's not honoring to me. It doesn't come from your heart. Verse 3, behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. Tell us how you feel, Lord, right? He does. Very specifically, so you shall know that I have sent this command to you that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. Now, who's Levi? Go back to last week, Father Abraham and many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. We talked about that. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob and had 12 sons. These were the 12 tribes of Israel. 1, 2, 3. The third son of Jacob is Levi. And so Levi plays an important part among the tribes of Israel, because from Levi, you move down a few descendants and you end up with someone pretty well known named Moses, and Moses' older brother, Aaron. And remember that Aaron is the one that God said, I'm going to make you and your descendants the priests. So they would be the Levitical priesthood because they come from Levi, and it would be the Aaronic priesthood is what it would be called, because they're all from the tribe, from the people of Aaron. And so God makes a covenant with Aaron, and it's called the Levitical covenant. We would think of it as a covenant with Levi, but Levi was a great-great-grandfather descendant. And so we understand that this idea is, it means this. When you think about Levites and you read about them, you would say, I thought all the Levites were priests. No. All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests, because Aaron is just one of the Levites and all the priests came from him. So if that makes sense. So understand, this covenant is made between Aaron, but it's called a covenant really made between Levi. And so it's lived out with Aaron. So the older brother of Moses is now going to act as the chief priest, and from him would come all the others. Look at verse 5. He says, my covenant with him, and now he's going to tell us how it should be. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. Verse 6, true instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. Verse 7, for the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Verse 8, but you, priests, have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you did not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. So God is speaking through Malachi, and Malachi is saying to the priests who came from the line of Aaron, he's saying, this is what Aaron did. This is his character. This is how he lived. This is what a priest should be. But you've not done this. And so now he says, I'm going to make you despised and abased. I'm going to wipe you away and your descendants. So God gives us in this story, in this argument with the priest, he gives us what a good priest should be. He shows us the character of a godly priest. Look at what he says again. He says, God gave him life and peace. Look in those verses. He feared the Lord. He stood in awe of God's name. He spoke truth from his mouth. He walked in the peace of God. He turned people from sin, and he was God's messenger. Now, realize that's a description of Aaron. It's a character goal for all priests. Now, if you'll jump forward that one page in your Bible to Matthew, if you just kind of take that 400-year leap forward to where Jesus shows up on the scene, listen, stay right here with me for a moment. Here's what happens. When Jesus died and came back to life, he ended the Levitical priesthood. No longer did we need the priests from the tribe of Levi. Now, they continued on for a while longer, but he didn't need them. And why? Because Jesus is known as the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is a great prophet. Jesus is the great priest, the high priest, and Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Jesus comes along and brings a new group of priests. Who are they? Who are they? Look to your left and look to your right. That's them. That's them. It's you and me. We are the priests now. The Levitical priesthood ended. And so now we are the priests. In 1 Peter chapter 2, listen to these words. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. We sang about mercy today. And right here it says, because of God's mercy, he has made
you a royal priest. You are a kingdom of priests, men and women in the room. We are priests. Revelation chapter 5, the last book of the Bible, beginning in verse 9, is referring to Jesus as the Lamb. I love these verses. Listen to these verses. And they sang a new song. This is about a day yet to come. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll," talking about Jesus, "and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God." Do you realize what that says? Guys, think about it. It's for you and me. It says people from every tribe, language, people, and nation. That's Boaz, Albertville, Gunnersville, Five Sand Mountain, all of us. People from all over the world. He says, "You have taken those and you have ransomed the believers by his blood." So here's what Jesus did. Through his death on the cross, he ransomed your life. It was a payment that had to be paid. He paid the price for you. But it's not just, "Hey, I paid the price, and so just wait till you die and go to heaven." No, look what it says. "And now we are God's people. We are his people. He has made us a kingdom and priests to our God." It was not enough for Jesus to say, "I will save you by the skin of your teeth." Jesus comes along and says, "Now I make you a priest. I am the high priest and you are a priest. You can bring people to me. You can speak on behalf and you can pray to people, to God for people. You can bring requests through me to him, the ultimate high priest." And so Jesus says, "I make you a priest." So Jesus, the high priest, has made us a kingdom of priests. So because of that, let's real quickly examine your life and mine off of the characters of Aaron the priest. So we look at chapter 2 of Malachi and the good things that God said about Aaron. Let's examine our own lives by that. Let's start with the very first one. He says, "God gave him life and peace." Make no mistake about it, friends. The only way, let me say it again, the only way to eternal life is through Jesus. Amen? Come on now, I can't believe somebody didn't come. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus. There is no other way. If you think there's another way, try to be good. How good is good enough? You can't do it. You'll never get there. You think, well, there's other people every now and then will say to me, "I think there's many ways to God, and God through his grace lets us pick one of those other paths." No, not from the scripture, no. The scripture says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus himself said that, by the way, and he says he's the only way. He's the only way. So my question is, do you have eternal life, and do I have eternal life? Are we certain that we have Jesus in our lives? If not, settle that today, friends. It is God's grace, and it's still available today. His mercy is more than your sin, and it's available today. What good news. Second, it says that Aaron feared the Lord. He feared the Lord. And then it even says, and the explanation for that in Malachi 2, it says he stood in awe of God's name. So to fear the Lord was for him to stand in awe of God's name. Let me talk to you about fear of the Lord for a moment. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding." If you want wisdom and understanding of who God is and what he's doing, you've got to start with a healthy fear of God. Deuteronomy 10, 12 says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." So what does that mean? Don't get mixed up with what the idea of fear is. It doesn't mean that you fear God's going to leave you, that God's going to get mad at you. Listen, some of you have lived your entire life with bad theology. Even though you've heard the truth spoken, you still somewhere in the recesses of your heart and mind believe that you're going to be the one exception to God's truth, and that somehow he's going to get mad at you and leave you because you've sinned over and over again. Now, if I'm talking to you, listen to me for a moment. If you think that God's just going to zap you someday, that's not the fear. By the way, if God was going to zap you for sinning, we'd all done be zapped. I don't know how you say that, but you'd be zapped, right? Every last one of us would be zapped. So that's not the case. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, and John chapter 10, verse 28, it says that he will never leave his own. God will not leave you or forsake you. Friends, you can take that to the bank. When I was sitting in my office with Alicia, who was baptized, and I was sharing with her a few weeks ago just how you can know for certain you have Christ in your life, I talked with her about this very idea that if she and her dad, and she's got a dad who's, you know, he's a pretty big guy, and so so if they were to be out at on 431, they were going to cross the street, he wouldn't just say, Alicia, you go run on across the street, do the best you can, good luck. No, he's going to grab her arm and put the death grip on her. He's got a pretty big hand. So he's got her, okay? She's not getting away. And he's going to walk her across that street. Why? He's much stronger. He's wiser. He can keep up with traffic better. No one's going to hit his daughter if he has anything to say about it, okay? So he's going to protect as they cross that road. And understand in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, it says, not only does Jesus have you in his hand, it says the Father has you in his hand. Now, can you imagine the grip of the Father? Friends, you can know that Jesus holds on to you. You can know. So it's not a fear that you're going to lose your salvation. It's not a fear that God's going to be done with you. It is a healthy awe. I tried to come up with a definition that would work. If you start searching, there's not a lot of people that give strong definitions of the fear of the Lord. So here's what I came up with. Fear of God is awe and respect for who he is, for what he does and what he can do, and how he calls us to live. It's an awe and respect for who he is, what he does and what he can do, and how he calls us to live. It is a healthy awe and reverence of God. I fear the Lord. I know what he can do. I know who he is. I know how he's called me to live. And so, friends, we too, like Aaron, can live with a healthy, wonderful, beautiful fear of the Lord. What else about Aaron? Aaron spoke truth from his mouth. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In other words, David is praying in that prayer, God, help what comes out of my mouth, which I know starts with what I've meditated on in my heart and head. Because by the way, what comes out your mouth is what's inside of you. It's what's in your heart, it's what's in your head, and it comes flowing out. And so as we think through that, David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So friends, can I ask you, are your words acceptable to God? Think back on the last week of your life, and I'm going to think about mine. It's going to hurt a little bit. Were we free from slander? Did we have any gossip on our lips? Did we say anything in anger? Was there any lie that came out of our mouths? You say, oh, it's just a little white lie. No such thing. You say, what are you talking about? There's the big lies that make a big difference, and there's little bitty lies. Surely that's not such a big deal. Revelation 21:8 says liars go to hell. Now, I know a little song I learned about that, but I'm not going to sing it to y'all. But that's the truth of the matter. You say, well, that's serious business. I'm saying even a little lie affects our relationship and walk with Christ. Now, it doesn't mean if you lie, you're going to hell if you know Jesus. But the point is that long list in Revelation 21 is designed to remind us that all of us have sinned and all of us come short. So with our mouth, have we spoken lies? Are we speaking truth? Then lastly, do we sometimes twist the truth? I got to tell you, nobody wants to listen to a pastor that lies. And no one wants to listen to a priest that lies either. And you're the priest and I'm the priest. So friends, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in his sight. Now again, it's not fair that we've not been perfect in that, and I understand that. But we can make a conscious decision that says, God, I will seek to check the words that I speak to know that they will speak life and not death, life and not push people away. He spoke the truth from his mouth. The next thing we see about Aaron, he walked in the peace of God. It says so right there in Malachi 2. He walked in the peace of God. Now remember, this is not peace that says we want peace on earth and no more war, no more problems, no more pain, no more sorrow. It's not that kind of peace. This is not everybody in your house is getting a little cooped up and arguing a little bit and one of the parents declares, I want some peace in this house. It's not that. This is the Hebrew idea of peace, which is the power and the presence of God at work in your life. And so it's the power of God at work. It's the presence of God at work. So how do we have peace? You can have peace in pain. You can have peace in problems. You can have peace in sorrow. You can have peace in grief. You can have peace in happiness. You can have peace in joy. And you can have peace in the mundane Saturday and everything's going just fine kind of day. Peace is about the power and the presence of God. And peace is found in holy living. How do we live a holy life? Three little words, three little phrases. It's God's word, God's ways, and God's will. If you want to have holy living in your life, study God's word, be in his word, find out what God's ways are and live those out, and then seek to be in God's will. And so that's how we do that, friends, and God gives us a clear path for that from the scripture. So Aaron showed us what it meant to be a person of peace, and we can be as well. Next, it says he turned people from sin. Now, this is where we differ a little bit. The Old Testament priests were designed to really be a go-between between God and mankind. And then once Jesus came and was the ultimate sacrifice, now we're the priest, but Jesus is the go-between. He's the high priest, so we can go directly to God. Why do I tell you that? You're not going to turn someone from their sins. You can't save anyone. You can try to be the Holy Spirit. If you've got a family member that you've been praying for years they would come to Christ, and you nag and nag and try and try and nothing seems to happen, listen, you can't be the Holy Spirit. All you can do is pray for them. You can live your life in a way that will influence them, but you can pray that the Holy Spirit will do it. We cannot save people, but our lives will do one of two things. And you are doing one of these two things. Every person in this room, from the oldest to the youngest, the newest attender to the oldest member, everyone in this room, you are either gently drawing people closer to Christ or you are pushing them further away. There is no in between. We can't just exist. We either are helping people to be drawn closer to Christ through our lives, through our love, through our mercy, through our grace, through our truth speaking. We are helping them to be drawn closer to Christ, or through our lives, through our actions, through our attitudes, through our ambivalence, we are pushing them further away. So my prayer is that my attitude, my prayer is that my actions, and my prayer is that my words would lead people closer to Jesus. They do not always, and I want them to. My prayer is that they will. And then finally, the last thing we see of Aaron is this. He was God's messenger. He was God's messenger. Friends, the scripture's clear. Peter says it, but the scripture alludes to it multiple times. We are God's ambassadors, as though he were making his appeal through us. The scripture is clear. We are his ambassadors. Now, I want to tell you a quick story. Some of you have heard before. Sorry if it's a repeat, but when we were adopting Moses from Ghana, West Africa, there was, we had a lot of trouble. And Lily ended up spending 101 days there seeking to make that adoption final. And there was just a lot of difficulty and red tape and struggles and corruption on the Ghanaian end and obstinance, just to be quite honest, on the American USCIS end. And so in the middle of all that, there was this back and forth, and we were trying to get help and trying to get resolution. And it was interesting because everybody watches movies. And so everyone thinks that the movies are true. And people are like, well, you need to just go to the embassy and ask to see the ambassador and get them to help you. Well, guess what? It don't work that way. You just can't get to that person. In fact, there was a strong stop at the door over and over and over and over and over for us. And so there was no reaching the ambassador. There was just none of that. But what we see when we find a country that has an ambassador that is working properly and doing their job, and you think back to some that have been in that ambassadors in some difficult wartime for us in some difficult places, there is something powerful about that ambassador who will stand and say, I carry with me in this conversation the full weight and authority of the United States of America. Something powerful about that. But then in our scenario, there was a lot of times where it was like, you can't have access to this. There's no help for you. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And here's what I would say to you, friends, and I'm not trying to just bash the ambassador there. We never had even a chance to get to them. But there's two types of ambassadors in this world. There are those that will walk with the authority and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And where you go, the king goes. Where you set your feet, the king is there. Where you go and where you minister, you are doing in his name. And we live our lives in such a way that others are drawn to that. We are his messenger. And then they are the ambassadors, which is more like it is in a lot of places, sadly, where there's really no access to them. That's really not happening. Truthfully, don't be offended, but it's ambassador in name only. And so what I want to say to you today is the most horrible thing we could do as priests, and you're a priest and I'm a priest, one of the most horrible things we could do is settle for being an ambassador in name only. Oh, I don't want that. I want my life to count. I want every place I set my feet to be God's, and I want every place that I go to be a place where I can represent Jesus. I want my mouth to speak words that matter and words of kindness and not anger. And sometimes I struggle with the gossip and anger. I want to be the kind of person that lives out the rest of these things we looked at from the life of Aaron, how he lived in peace. I want the power and the presence of God in my life. I want to be the type of person that will do the things that we see him called here to do. And my prayer is that you would do the same as well. So what about you? What about me? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment as we think through concerning Aaron, what a blessing he was. God gave him life and peace. Friends, if you know Jesus, he's given you life and access to peace. Second, he feared the Lord. Friends, we can fear the Lord. We can have an awe and respect of who he is that is lived out in our actions. Aaron spoke truth from his mouth about the knowledge of God. And friends, we can do all we can to bridle our tongue, to speak truth, to speak life. But that begins by knowing God's will and God's way and God's word. And that's what will come out. He walked in the peace of God. We can do that through the power and the presence of God. He turned people from their sin. We can help people be drawn to the Savior. We can be used as an instrument of the Holy Spirit for people to see and want what we have. And then lastly, he was God's messenger. And friends, you and I can be God's messenger. So may we be his messenger. As we come to a time of prayer with our heads bowed, if you want to pray about one of these areas of your life, I invite you to come and pray. You can pray at your seat or you can come here. Maybe you've got someone you've been praying for and you desperately want to be the messenger that speaks words of truth to them. Come and pray for the Holy Spirit to prepare them. Maybe for you, you realize that you've not had a lot of peace. I'm not talking about the turmoil or the hard circumstance, but just the power and presence of God. Come and make a renewed commitment to him. Maybe God's calling you to join our faith family. Maybe God's calling you to follow through with believers' baptism, just like Alicia. Maybe you want to be saved too. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond? Father God, please have your way among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.